May the Lord help us to commence this service by singing hymn 1134. Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly Dove, with light and comfort from above, our waiting soul set free. Be thou our guardian, thou our guide, o'er every thought and step preside, and draw us after thee. Hymn 1134.
From the Holy Word of God. Let us read two portions of Scripture this evening. Firstly, Psalm 119 and the first 16 verses of it. Psalm 119, verses 1 to 16. And then we'll read in Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, Chapter 4. Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Let us turn to the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, reading chapter 4. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given, that is, Joshua of the Old Testament, the follower of Moses, for if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest He also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labour, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May the Lord bless unto us each the reading of his holy and sacred word. And may he help us now to pray. O thou most holy, almighty and gracious God, Lord, do be mindful of each one of us here tonight as we seek to gather ourselves together in thy name, that precious name of Jesus, and fulfill that gracious promise to be present in our midst. O Lord, we can so easily come into the courts of thy house with hardness of hearts and coldness of mind and thought and spirit, affected by the things of the day, the matters that have arisen, the busy scenes of life, the duties, the responsibilities. And yet, Lord, we are now found here tonight around thy holy word of truth. Oh, do humble us before thee. Lord, we are sinners. We are not worthy, Lord, of the least of thy mercies. But, Lord, do look upon us. And may thy Spirit remain amongst us and speak to each one of us, fear not. Lord, do come now and draw us by thy Spirit to the footstool of thy mercy. Oh, do solemnize our hearts and our minds. And so, Lord, we would fall before thee, humbly trusting in that cross, that alone to be all our glory, and all things else but dung and dross. O Lord, we pray earnestly for the salvation of our souls, for that is an eternal blessing. That is a blessing, Lord, that will never depart from us. A blessing, Lord, to hold us fast and keep us in the knowledge of thy saving grace. One Lord that is the anchor of our soul. One that strengthens and upholds us in the times of temptation and tribulation, sorrows and distresses. Lord Jesus is the one thing needful. O Lord, make that abode within each of our hearts, that we do know Christ in us, the hope of glory. Lord, thou knowest each heart before thee tonight. Lord, thou knowest those whom thou hast once blessed with the knowledge of thy redeeming love. O Lord, we commend them to thee, that thou wilt uphold them and keep them in the pathway of this life, a spiritual wilderness journey. Many foes, many sorrows, many cares, many fears. But Lord, may there also be the many joys, the many thanksgivings, tokens, more and more of thy heavenly love. Lord, that those can grow in grace and the knowledge of thee. Lord, remember those that are seeking earnestly for the sweet confirmation of their soul's salvation. Oh, do hear their prayers, give me Christ, or else I die. Lord, hast thou not said thou wilt avenge thine elect speedily, that cry day and night unto thee? Lord, are these not the tender sheep of thy flock? The poor and the needy ones that cry day and night unto thee. Then, Lord, hear those cries and come and grant thy blessing. Say, fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. And lead them forth, Lord, by that right way that leadeth to that city of habitation, that eternal place thou hast prepared for thy people in glory. O Lord, do lead forth in that way everlasting. And Lord, we pray for those who may be far off, without God and without hope in this world, where the things even of a religious life is just an outward form, and there's been no change or quickening of heart. Lord, do not let them stray beyond the bounds of thy love. But yet, Lord, do call by grace. Outpour thy spirit. Lord, bring to a godly repentance and a confession of sin. Break the stony heart and heal the broken heart. And so, Lord, may there be a many sinners saved by thy grace. So, Lord, we commend ourselves, whatever our state, before thee this night. Let none of us, Lord, be left without a good hope through thy grace, when we are called to leave time for eternity. We pray, Lord, for the blessing, thy blessing upon thy word of truth, through all those thou hast sent to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ who are engaged here. Lord, who use them continually. And may it often be said by each one, it has been good that we've been up to the house of the Lord. He met with me there. Oh, do speak, Lord, through thine own word to the prosperity and comfort of each soul. And Lord, do answer each petition that is poured out before thee here. From each heart, Lord, those groanings which cannot be uttered. Lord, are those not the ones that are indicted by thy the Spirit? And are those not the cries thou wilt surely hear and answer? Lord, do help each one to pour out their heart before thee, telling thee all the truth. And find thee, Lord, to be that gracious God, or at that throne of grace, granting thy mercy, and granting more grace in the time of need. So, Lord, may we continue dependent upon thee in all our need, and in all the circumstances of our lives. We do pray, Lord, for thy church and people here. Be with the deacons, Lord, in all that they have to attend to, and in their prayerful exercises regarding this house of prayer. O Lord, do help them undertake for them. And Lord, do give them those sweet encouragements that thou art indeed mindful of them in the answers to those cries. Lord, each member of the church, unite them by thy Spirit. Grant that sweet unity. Determined to know nothing amongst them save Jesus Christ, and him crucified, and all to adown to thine honour and glory. O Lord, we pray for each of the congregation. Lord, call each one by grace. The children, Lord, bless them. Confirm them as thine, to grow as true followers of thee. And the young people, Lord, do grant the power and witness of thy Holy Spirit to shed abroad that love of thine in their hearts. O Lord, from the rising generations may there be many called to give that true witness of the mercy they have found. Mercy to their never-dying soul, the forgiveness of their sin. And lead them forth, Lord, by the right way, by that way thou hast ordained for them in providence and in grace. Lord, that they may continue as the true witnesses of that good hope within them. Lord, we pray for thy work to be known and granted in the Sunday school, the teaching of the children. Lord, help those that carry that burden and responsibility. And may they know, Lord, thy Spirit, to grant thy word, the simplicity of the gospel, the milk of the gospel, to those young and tender hearts and souls. Something, Lord, to be given and may be remembered and brought forth to their good in years to come. Lord, remember each one of us, no matter what our age. Lord, help us in life's pathway. Our times, Lord, are in thy hand. All things are at thy command. Thou causest this to come. O Lord, doth thou not appoint the thing that is appointed, bring to pass that which is appointed for us? O Lord, perform it in thy love and mercy. And do not let us bring dishonour and disgrace upon thy name and word of truth in the time of our temptations. Lord, be our strength and our stay. Lord, fill us with thy Spirit. Lord, do increase our faith and make us strong in the truth, fervent in spirit. And so, Lord, lead and guide us all our days. May our end be everlasting peace. We ask thy blessing, Lord, upon thine own word. Lord, we're here tonight remembering the Trinitarian Bible Society that publishes thy word of truth faithfully in our own tongue and in many languages throughout the world. O Lord, do help them, undertake for them, and grant thy blessing upon them. Lord, the word that is translated and published, Lord, may there be many that receive it and find in there all the way of truth, the way of life, the way of their soul salvation. Bless, Lord, by faith given unto thee from above, given unto them from above. O Lord, do so continue this work. We thank thee, Lord, for the years that the Trinitarian Bible Society has continued. Lord, it needs the same help of thee today as it did at the beginning. And Lord, may it be that thy word will go forth. It will have free course. It will be glorified in the hearts of all those that read it. And Lord, may it draw them humbly to the footstool of mercy and there to find their sins forgiven. Lord, so bless thy word throughout this our land and throughout the world. May it never return to thee void, but accomplish that which thou doth please, and may it ever prosper in the thing to which thou doth send it. Lord, we lay these things before thee. Bless thy word still in our own land. Lord, do help our Prime Minister and government to handle all the matters wisely. Lord, wilt thou not give them of thy spirit and lead them in the way that is right? Lord, the things that arise, are they not above man's wisdom? And I know not what to do, but may their eyes be up unto thee. Lord, lead them to call upon thee. And Lord, do grant thy blessing to where our nation, Lord, is restored, to one of whom thou art our God, and those many abominations that now stand on our statute books and practiced under the legislation of our land be overturned, and our Protestant liberties be upheld and maintained, and the freedom of our worship. O Lord, do have mercy upon us. We are guilty, Lord, of tremendous sins. And we sin, Lord, day by day, nationally, collectively, in our own hearts and minds individually. O Lord, have mercy upon us. And may be, Lord, that all these things that lie before us and upon us, all may work to the honour and glory of thy great and glorious name. Lord, do forgive all that we ask amiss. Lord, do cleanse our prayers in that precious blood and name of Jesus Christ. Open thy word of truth to us tonight. Open up our hearts. May the words of these lips and the meditation of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We ask, Lord, all these things in the name of Jesus and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 878. say, Christian, wouldst thou thrive in knowledge of thy Lord? Against no scripture ever strive, but tremble at his word. Hymn 878.
Directly to the Word of God. This evening is a meeting to remember particularly also the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society, for which there is a collection at the end of the service. And I would just say a few things concerning the current work and situation of the Trinitarian Bible Society. 1 year ago, they were just moving into their new premises at the new Tyndale House. And that meant much work and difficulty for them. But the Lord was gracious. And everything went extremely well for them. And there was an open meeting to the praise and honour and glory of God, which perhaps some of you attended in February early this year, where more than 400 met to give praise and thanks unto God for his great goodness in the provision of a new place where they can work, and also there was financial benefit in it. Part of that financial benefit is the warehouse next door, which belongs to them. And a removal company has now taken possession of that warehouse, which is called Wycliffe House. So we have Tyndale House, where the TBS work, and Wycliffe House, immediately adjoining it. And that provides additional income. Regarding the translation work, there are currently 32 translation and revision projects underway. The ones perhaps most significant at this time is the Romanian Bible, which is in its stage of final proofreading, and is hoped that it will be published and distributed next year. The Spanish Bible, the New Testament, has been published, but it's hopeful that by the year 2020, the whole Bible will be published. It takes quite a while from translation through proofreadings and retranslations, revisions, to when there's final typesetting and final proofreadings before there is publication. There is very slow progress on the French Revised Bible. Matthew's Gospel was published in 2015, but no further publication has yet been reached. The Chinese Bible, that is going well. At the annual meeting of the TBS in September, there were two men from China who are working on that translation, spoke concerning the work. A print copy of John's Gospel is in hand. It's being printed currently in China. And there is already the Gospel of John available online. And finally, the Hebrew New Testament. A revision of that is over half complete. On top of those translations already in hand, there are a further 20 projects which are under consideration. Now, regarding the English publications of the scriptures, these, of course, can be viewed in the 2016 and 17 catalogue, or, of course, they can be viewed on the Trinitarian Bible Society's website. But a new publication is now available, and that is the Compact Westminster Range of Bible. The current Westminster Bible, as you know, it's quite large. The compact one is a good inch in each dimension smaller than the current one, but thickness is about the same. And it is hoped that it will be more easy to carry and use in chapels and in for personal use. So those are the new compact Westminster range of Bibles. Of course, you know, in the Westminster Bible, the word list is incorporated into the margins. And where words have changed their meaning over the years or are not used at all now, then it can easily be referenced what those words mean. Financially, the time for the Trinitarian Bible Society is quite challenging. It's expected in this year, 2016, that there will be over a £400,000 overspend. The per reason for this, there has been limited legacy receipts. Also, the exchange rate has gone against many of the finances. And sadly, there's been a loss of funding from an overseas partner. At the moment, there are great difficulties in setting a balanced budget for 2017. We pray the Lord will provide. Regarding staffing, this year there's been a new editorial manager. There's been a new information technology consultant, a new publications editor, and currently a new sales officer is being appointed. But their main requirement is for a new deputation speaker. Not immediately needed, but needed in the longer term. And how prayer is needed, the Lord will raise up one to take the place of the deputation speakers who have been faithfully fulfilling that role for many years, and especially with the ill health of Dr. David Allen. But we thank the Lord that he is greatly improved at the moment and undertaking his duties once more. And if the Lord will, he is engaged to preach, to speak at the Trinitarian Bible Society Auxiliary for Bedfordshire, Hertfordshire and surrounding district at the Strict Baptist Chapel in Clifton, Bedfordshire, in February next year. The Trinitarian Bible Society are in need of our great support. Prayerfully, financially. Above all, we still pray that the Lord will use their work to the many a blessing of many souls, that his word will yet go out throughout the whole world in free course and be glorified. Let us come to the word of God. I'd ask your prayerful attention to a verse we find in Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. As the Lord may help us, this 12th verse of the 4th chapter of Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In the Bible days, the days when the word of the Lord was revealed by the Holy Spirit to those that compiled it, a sword was the most common used weapon in war. The sword was a most effective weapon. There were hardly any wars conducted between nation and nation without the use of the sword. And the most destructive and powerful of those swords was the two-edged sword. A sword which was effective in which way it was used, whether to the left hand or to the right hand. There was much effect of it against the enemy. And of course, the sword was no more effective than when in the hand of a mighty man. One who was bold, one who was strong, one who was fearless. And quite often, for a prince and a king, the sword was actually made for them, so that it would be adapted to their height, adapted to their hands, adapted to the way they would use it. So that sword was most effective in the hand of the owner, and not so much in one whom it might have been given to whom it might have been borrowed. The sword was an important weapon of war. And dear friends, it was used for the defence of the people and the victory over the enemy. Now the Apostle Paul here says in this verse, writing to the Hebrews, likens the word of God to a two-edged sword. The word of God, says, is quick and powerful. Dear friends, if the word of God is likened unto a sword, then how much more, is it effective in the hand to whom it belongs, Almighty God? A two-edged sword. Dear friends, used for two purposes. Used for blessing and for cursing. Used to kill and to make alive. Used to destroy the enemy, used to defend his own people. And dear friends, under the influence and power of the Holy Spirit, there is nothing more powerful or effective in the heart and souls of mankind. For the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. It's a living word. It's not a dead word. Oh, we read in the scriptures, don't we, how the word of God shall abide forever. Mankind, he lives, he dies. One generation passeth away, another generation cometh. All we are like grass, and like the flower of the grass, we shall perish. But the word of God abideth forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Dear friends, the word of God is above that which is of an earthly creation. The word of God is that which abides and ever has abided from eternity past to eternity to come. Containing all the will, the purpose, and the power and the glory of Almighty God. And through the word, dear friends, all things comes to pass. He speaks and it is done. Because the word of God is quick and powerful. Yes, he spake, it was done. Oh, in the creation of this world, Dear friends, what power was showed there, wasn't it? The creation of all things in those 6 days. Oh, how powerful and great might be the arguments against the creation of God in these days. But dear friends, the word of God will prevail. The power of lies and deceits will fall away. The word of God is quick, and it is powerful. Apostle Paul speaks, doesn't he, of the gospel of Christ in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Oh, how it can break the hardest heart, and how it can give life to that which is dead. The word of God, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. Dear friends, there's no earthly sword has such an ability to do that. It is sharper than any physical two-edged sword. Dear friends, what is the soul and spirit? What are joints and marrow? They are not seen by the naked eye. Our eye, are they? But they are seen by the eye of Almighty God. He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Nothing is unknown unto him. Everything is open and naked to his eye. Oh, dear friends, what appears to be one with us, soul and spirit, hardly be able to divide between the two, the joints and marrow, the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Dear friends, the Lord discerns between them, between good and evil, between truth and lies, between that which is right in his sight and that which is not, between sin and righteousness. All that dwells within the heart and the mind, dear friends, the Lord discerns what it is. Dear friends, does that not bring us into the fear of the Lord? The next verse says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Thou, God, seest me. But, dear friends, do note this. Verse 12, speaking of the word of God. And now he carries on concerning him, his sight. The word of God. Oh, the word was made flesh. The word is Christ, the Son of the living God, quick and powerful. Oh, dear friends, that word to quicken souls through Christ into everlasting life. That word, Christ, powerful to lay down his life, take it again, to destroy the power of sin. Dear friends, nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is impossible with him. All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. And we are open to his all-seeing eye. Oh, dear friends, if the Lord looks down upon us tonight, looks in our heart, what does he behold? We read in one place, don't we, where Jesus Christ said, when he comes, shall he find faith on the earth? And that which is not of faith is sin. Oh, this word. Dear Dear friends, the Word of God, the truth as it is in Jesus. Oh, let us tremble before it as we've just sung. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and are opened unto his eyes of him with whom we have to do. We read, don't we, of the Apostle John in that vision when he was on the Isle of Patmos. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And he beheld this, a glorious one, like unto the Son of Man. And there's a description given of him. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. His voice as the sound of many waters. In his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And dear friends, that was to divide in those churches between that which was right, that which was wrong, that which was good, that which was evil, that which was acceptable, that which was not. And all those solemn things which proceeded from his mouth, dividing between the joints, as it were, and the marrow, between the soul and the spirit. Dear friends, we notice there he had them in his hand. Oh, as we read these words concerning these churches, how it searches us through and through in our churches. I know thy works and thy labour. We're not going to go through them all, but perhaps just to Ephesus. There was much spoken of Ephesus that was right, wasn't there? I know thy works, thy labour, thy patience. Thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Thou hast borne, hast patience. Thou hast laboured and not fainted for the Lord's name's sake. Dear friends, Ephesus was a good church, wasn't it? Nevertheless, I've somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Thou hast left thy first love. Something else has come in the way. It's not a pure and a perfect worship. Oh, perhaps there was a measure of self-righteousness, a measure of one's own goodness, a wonderful, we're better than you are, a measure of judgment against others, which they felt were inferior or not so steadfast in the word and way as they were. Oh, dear friends, how easily we can get lifted up with a bit of pride, God. Dear friends, we may not discern it, but the Lord discerns it. Those hidden things of the heart, which are grievous to the Spirit. Thou hast left thy first love. Christ was not having all the glory. He was not having all the honour. He was not having everything of that sinful heart, dear friends, poured out before him. There was a measure of self left there. Oh, how solemn. Thou hast left thy first love. And dear friends, here's the solemn word of this sword in its judgment, in its cutting down. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. Do the first works. Else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Except thou repent. Oh, how we are in need, aren't we, completely? All the days of our life of true godly repentance and confession of sin. His word, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between the soul and spirit and the joints of marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All these churches were different, weren't they? Just a bit further on, we have the angel of the church in Pergamos, right? These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Oh, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, thou hast not denied the faith. But I have a few things against thee. They had brought in some false doctrines. They were permitting the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. Dear friends, oh, that was an abominable practice of Balaam, wasn't it? Balaam could not himself curse the children of Israel. God would not permit him. But in the desire of the riches and the glory of Midian and of Balak, he advised Balak how to tempt the children of Israel, that they should fall themselves into sin, that they would come under the curse of God. Balaam told Balak, oh, to tempt them into fornication and idolatry with his own virgins and women of his own people. That Israel should commit fornication with them. Oh, dear friends, how many tempting doctrines can enter into the church of Christ? Doctrines which are of man and not of the Lord. Doctrines which are different to the holy word of God. Oh, we have many we hear of, don't we, today? In perhaps the other churches, the Church of England and so forth, who are entertaining same-sex marriage and women priests and so on and so forth, contrary to the word of God. Dear friends, the Lord's word, sharper than to any sword, dear friends, you would divide amongst them and be judgment to them, except they repent, except they repent. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Judgment. Dear friends, do notice that the Lord here holds the angels of the churches in his hand. Those are the ministers, the preachers, the pastors of the word of truth. Oh, dear friends, what a solemn responsibility. To divide the word of truth faithfully, uprightly and honestly. Not to sow pillows, as it were, under armholes, to lift you up upon false foundations. Oh, but to give that solemn warning concerning unbelief and deviation from the word of God. We read, don't we, in the Lord Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, of those who said, we have preached in thy name, we have cast out devils, we've done many wonderful works. Dear friends, they were pleading their own works before the judgment seat, as if they were worthy, through what they had done, of eternal life. And their judgment was, depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, how solemn is this word of God that is quick and powerful in its judgment. Now, friends, pleading their own works, pleading their own goodness, pleading their own achievements. Dear friends, that will only cast us into hell. Oh, compare that with the Apostle Paul. Dear friends, although he said concerning his ministry, how blessed the Lord had blessed it, he was the least of the apostles, though I be nothing. Writing to the Corinthians, how he trembled, he said, when he preached to them. And how it was needful for the blessing to be of the Holy Ghost. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Christ. You see, dear friends, it's not just the outward form of what we do, is it? It's the spirit within. It's the heart within. That's where we honour and glorify our God. Or we honour and glorify ourselves and the work of Satan. Each of us in our daily lives, it isn't what we do, so much of how we do it. You may do a kindness. It may be a great kindness to another who is in need. And on the surface, dear friends, it's rejoiced in. But in yourself, it's for a measure of pride, of self-esteem, of the praise of man, to be upheld through how people speak well of you. Dear friends, the word of God will discern between the thoughts and the intents of your heart. That won't be acceptable before God. That will not be the work what brings forth any fruit to the honour and glory of God, will it? Oh, how solemn is that parable of Jesus concerning the wheat and the tares. Let them both grow together. Oh, you couldn't, while they were growing, you couldn't discern outwardly what was what. Until the fruit was manifest in the ear. And then at harvest time, at the end of the world, says Jesus, there'll be a cutting down of those where there's been no fruit brought forth to the honour and glory of God and of his Christ. Oh, dear friends, what drives us in our daily lives? Are we seeking the glory and the good of ourselves, our earthly prosperity? Are we being driven by our own pride and self-will? No matter what we do, even in those good deeds, which we should do. You know, we can do a good deed. And yet within our own hearts we can be full of anger and dissent. Oh, you children and young people, your parents ask you to do something and we're to be obedient to our parents. We're to honour them. And perhaps we do it, but inward, oh, we're angry. We're speaking against them. We're turning against them. Dear friends, that's sin. That's sin. No matter what the deed. And that's not to the glory of God. Dear friends, the Lord sees us through and through. He looks upon our heart. He discerns what is of his spirit and what is not. Dear friends, that what glorifies the Lord, that what glorifies God, is when we are willing to give our all, whatever we have, to the good and the help and the need of another. I know there's a spiritual type of the Good Samaritan. But dear friends, the Lord spoke that parable in the terms and the context of doing deeds, of loving one's neighbour. That Samaritan who came along and saw that poor man. He did everything he could for him, even at his own cost. And did not leave it just there, but said to the innkeeper, when he comes again, he will pay him that which he owes. Dear friend, that wasn't for his own glory, was it? That was in the fulfilling of the word of God, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. Even as Christ hath loved us, if we know that pardon of our sin. Oh, how we tremble at the word of God. How we shall be found in that last day. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But dear friends, this word of God is a precious word. The Lord Jesus said, search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they testify of me. They testify of me. Dear friends, when we search the Scriptures, when do we find profit in them? Well, we had it at the beginning of this fourth chapter of Hebrews. Oh, what a division was here. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Not being mixed with faith with them that heard it. What is faith? Faith is the gift of God to believe all that the holy word of God contains, and all the truth that it is in Jesus Christ, the divine Son of God. And you know, dear friends, when we are given faith, which is the work of the Holy Spirit, and we come and turn to this word, what do we find in it? We find our sinful hearts so well described, don't we? We find we are subject to transgression of the law. We find we are sinners and we are under the curse. And there's nothing that can deliver us from that curse. We are worthy of this judgment. Oh, this sharp sword that will cut us down. And dear friends, what a mercy if under the teaching of the Spirit, this sword of the word of truth does cut us down. To convince us of our sin. To tremble at the word of God. Oh, we've just sung of it, haven't we? In that last hymn, say, Christian, wouldst thou strive in knowledge of thy Lord? Against no scripture ever strive, but tremble at his word. You know, dear friends, it doesn't feel like it. But when we come to such a place as that, then it's the beginning of a work of grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that is mindful of your sin-sick soul and is determined to save it. And he causes you to sink under that knowledge of your sin, to cry out for his mercy. For those blessings. Oh, and you find you cannot attain unto those blessings because you've got no righteousness of your own. One of your good works can't blot out one of your sins. You're a guilty sinner all your days. And oh, that great accuser of your soul. Satan is a mighty foe, isn't he? There's no hope for you. You're too great a sinner. There's no mercy for you. You can't deliver yourself from your sin. You're getting worse and worse. You only add sin unto sin day by day. How can you be fit for heaven? But oh, the word of truth. This other side of the sword, dear friends, which defends your soul. Defends you from that power of sin and reveals to you the way of salvation. The sufferings of the Lord Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for many. And oh, by faith, drawn, oh, into that precious truth, and to look upon him whom we have pierced. Our sins laid upon him, he made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, it becomes a precious word, doesn't it? A precious word. And dear friends, there's the fleeing then of unbelief. That word is in power in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Oh, this sacred truth, a precious word, a two-edged sword to convince us and cut us down in our sin and to defend us from the power of the enemy who would accuse our soul. And dear friends, to defend us and lift us up and bring us forth into the fullness of the knowledge of the grace of God, a sinner. Saved by grace. And you know, dear friends, as we journey on through life, we shall be ever in need, shan't we, of this sacred word of truth, this precious word, this precious Jesus. Oh, it'll be first and foremost unto us. And we shall seek to live in accordance with it all our days. And when we fail, when we sin, oh, what is this discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart? Dear friends, he will look upon our heart. He will look upon our soul. He will see the grief we have when we fail, when we fall, when we sin, and when we cry unto him again for mercy, when we come to this throne of grace, pleading that precious sin atoning blood. And that sacred word of truth applies, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And oh, dear friends, as we see this love and mercy, and we grow in the knowledge of it and the grace of it, sin will be exceeding sinful, and our desire will to be walk uprightly in all the obedience of the word of God and his commands, his statutes and his precepts. That was the desire of the psalmist, wasn't it? In that psalm we read, part of the psalm we read at the beginning. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Dear friends, that's not the covenant of works. We shall never be the undefiled in the covenant of works. But dear friends, the undefiled are those who walk in the law of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. Dear friends, nothing can overturn that law. Oh, what a power there is in that. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They're not seeking their own righteousness through their own deeds. They're seeking that complete dependence upon what Christ hath done. And to walk in love as he hath loved us. There's that question, isn't there? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Oh, you young people. How are you going to cleanse your way? How are you going to deliver yourselves from sin and iniquity? Well, it's here in the word of God, isn't it? that testifies of all your transgressions, of all your sin, all your shortcomings. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But oh, this glorious word of salvation, sin and salvation, from Genesis to Revelation, through the promised Son of God who gave himself a sacrifice for sin. And oh, by faith, that precious grace. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, that whilst we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive, quickened together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. Yea, by taking heed according to thy word. What a word. Oh, this brings us to prayer, doesn't it? Give me Christ, or else I die. Oh, may this word, dear friends, be to you a two-edged sword to cut you down in your sin and cause you to cry for that mercy. The psalmist says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Keep me in the way everlasting. Do not let me stray. Rule my heart by thy spirit. Govern my words and ways. Let grace abound in every part. Teach my tongue to sing thy praise. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Or we read how the Lord's words, the whole of the word of God written upon the fleshy tables of your heart. Dear friends, that's not the hard heart. And if you've got a hard heart, or maybe that your sin is written there with a pen of iron for the breaking of your heart. And when that heart is broken and made soft, oh, this truth as it is in Jesus, this wonderful word, have I hid in my heart. There it abides. And it abides forever. There's my hope of eternal life, fixed on Jesus and his shed blood, that I might not sin against thee now. In all the still transgressions of my ways and my faults and failings. Oh, there's a throne of grace. There's that shed blood. There's that fountain open for sin and uncleanness. Jesus is the refuge for sinners. And there I will make mine abode. I will not forget thy word. I will not forget thy word. That word which cuts me down and teaches me of my sin. That word which leads me, oh, to the cross of Christ. And there is all my glory. Dear friends, what a precious word is the word of God. And how the Lord has used it throughout all the ages to the salvation of sinner's soul. Dear friends, it's my desire that the Lord will use his word in power to the saving of all your souls, younger and older. And that through the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society, who translate this sacred word from the original tongues into all the other tongues faithfully, that the Lord will own and bless it and use it to the saving of many a soul. Not for the glory of the Trinitarian Bible Society, not for the glory of the minister who may preach it or may read it, but to the glory of God, that many souls destined for hell and destruction are brought out of the pit of corruption, are set upon a rock. Their ways are established, founded upon the word of God, Jesus Christ, the sacred truth, whereby a sinner is saved by grace. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Dear friends, he knows us through and through. May he use the word. May he use the word to each of our hearts to bring us and draw us humbly to his feet and keep us there in the way of salvation. The Lord bless his word and pardon all amiss. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting for the members on Friday evening. Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and there'll also be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock in the morning. And God willing, Mr. Pickett will preach on Friday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 1010. Father, what air of earthly bliss thy sovereign will denies, accepted at thy throne of grace, let this petition rise. Hymn 1010.
Grant thy blessing upon thine own word. Lord, do not let it return unto thee void. But, O Lord, may it be mixed with faith, that we, Lord, that hear the sound of the gospel, receive it in our hearts under the power and blessing of thy Spirit. So, Lord, may thy word do us good and we live unto it, a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway, kept from the ways of sin, drawn, gathered into the narrow way that leadeth unto life eternal. So make thy word precious, make Christ precious, and may we give heed to it far more than the philosophies of man. Lord, be with us as we separate. Keep us close to thy riven side. Increase our faith. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.